We're starting a new three-part series on Micah chapter 6, verse 8. That's right, 3 weeks in one verse, all right? And so it's Micah. Okay, so it's just a seven-chapter book. So those of you who kind of want to read around, you want to read the context, it's a seven-chapter book in the Old Testament. It's part of a group of books in the Old Testament called the Minor Prophets. It does not mean that they were prophets under the age of 18. And it doesn't mean that they were insignificant, but it's a group of books in the Bible called the Minor Prophets. And what happens in the Minor Prophets is God is sending, he sends people to warn a backslidden Israel to turn back to him so that they can come under his protection, that they can come under his blessing once more. Okay? And so when you read through the Minor Prophets, it's actually kind of tragic. Because, you know, God keeps sending people and sending people and sending people, and they're just not listening, you know. And you're going, why won't they listen, right? Anybody ever read the prophets in the Old Testament and go, what is wrong with these people? You know, yes. Come on. So, yes. And so at this time in Israel's history, what was happening is that they were worshiping false gods. And so you'll see, if you're older, if you've been around a while, you'll see that there's a big difference between first-generation believers, second-generation believers, and third-generation believers. In other words, people that were lost, they found Jesus, they came to him, you know, that was your first generation, and then your second generation would be like their kids, right? And then third generation would be like their kids, right? And so a lot of times there's a big difference because the first generation believers, they found Jesus, their life was totally turned around, they're on fire. Second generation believers are sort of like, you know, okay, that was my parents' thing, and that was cool. And then third generation, a lot of times you'll see them falling away because they weren't necessarily, in their eyes, saved from anything, okay? And so kind of what's happening here is you see Israel has been around for a little while now. The people who were led by a pillar of fire in the wilderness and the pillar of cloud, they've died off. And so you have kind of this Israel that's literally, not only have they just kind of become sort of like lukewarm towards God, they've turned against him and they started actually worshiping other gods. And so they were kind of known at this point. They were worshiping false gods and they had a reputation for mistreating the poor. What a horrible reputation. I mean, to be known for mistreating the poor as a nation. And in chapter 6 of Micah, God is just saying, he's saying this. He's saying, look, I saved you from slavery in Egypt. I gave you your own land. I've been completely faithful to you. And now you're just like tired of me. You've grown, I mean, that's kind of the words, the language God uses with Israel at this point. You've grown tired of me. And God's going, look, I don't even ask much of you. I don't even ask a whole lot. And he said, I'm not asking you to give up all you have. I'm not asking you to sacrifice your children to me like other gods were doing, and they were sacrificing the children to these false gods. I'm not asking you that. All I want is this. This is all God is going to say. All I want is this. And so that brings us to our key verse in this series. This is what the next 3 weeks are about. Micah 6:8. God says this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly. Everybody say, do justly. To love mercy. Say, everybody say, love mercy. And to, last thing, walk humbly. Say, walk humbly with your God. So God is just going, look, I just want three things from you. Okay? So it's almost like God is just going, look, just be cool. Oh, well, just to be cool. Just be cool. You know, just if you know what? If you're not a big turd, we're good. We're good. Just don't be a big turd, okay? And we're good, and everything's okay. So he says, you know, we're good. He says, do justly. In other words, do right by yourself and by others. Do right by. Don't cheat others. Don't falsely sue people and things like that. Sounds a little familiar. Don't, you know, just be, do right by other people. And then he says, love mercy. God says, look, I've been merciful to you. I've been forgiving to you. Now, be that way towards others. You know, one of the most disappointing things that I see ever as a pastor is a bitter, unforgiving Christian. Because we as believers have been forgiven so much. You know, and for us to turn around and hold unforgiveness against somebody else is such an affront, you know, to God. It's like, it's the worst. And so, be merciful. And then he says, lastly, be humble. You really aren't all that in a bag of chips. You're not. It doesn't matter how many Instagram followers you have. It doesn't matter how, you know, how low percentage of your body fat. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of shoes you wear. Nothing. You're not all that in a bag of chips. It really isn't all about you. Be humble. Be humble. And I think, in a way, you know, the church has even created that sort of like self-centric, you know, Christian thing. It's all about you. God, you know, it's all Jesus died and he thought about you on the cross. And yes, he did, and he's very loving. But listen, it's not all about you. And yes, you know, you're the apple of his eye, but it's still not all about you. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about him, right? And so when we get that, it's a lot easier to walk humbly. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. But the part of this verse that I want to talk about this morning is do justly. Do justly. And in the context of this scripture, God is talking about justice. He's talking about justice. And he's saying here to be fair in your judgment of others. Be fair in your judgment of others. It doesn't even matter what kind of Starbucks drink they were walking around with this morning. I go, what are you drinking there? And Kayla goes, don't judge me. I'm not judging. So, you know, but be fair in your judgment of others. And so in this case, like, poor people were being taken advantage of constantly. You know, poor people, and we see that in our culture too. We see poor people are taken advantage of. Because, you know, where are they going to set up a pawn shop where they can rip off poor people? In poor neighborhoods, right? You know, so they can give them 50 cents for their grandma's gold wedding ring, you know? I mean, where are we seeing poor people taken advantage of? And we're seeing that even in our own culture here. But poor people were being taken advantage of. Bribes were common. They had a really crooked justice system. And God wants us to be people of justice. And it's so important that we become people of justice, that we don't forget about this, that this doesn't sort of fall off of our spiritual radar. One day I remember watching a really interesting picture of justice sort of unfold in front of my very eyes. I was just a teenager. All my fun stories are from my teen years, in case you haven't noticed yet. But I was just a teenager. I was probably 19 years old. And I was at a bowling alley with my friend Gary. Gary and I were bowling. We had a couple ladies with us. Young ladies. Not our mothers. But so we were there at this bowling alley, and there was this guy who was like creeping around the place all night. You know, kind of a shady guy creeping around. You know, like, he never took his hood off of his head. That always bothers me when I see a guy who's inside for hours and never takes his hood off his head, because if I can't see your eyes, I don't trust you. That's just something I grew up with. And so had his hood over his head all night long, kind of creeping around, like staring at our ladies, you know, because they were hot. Just kidding. And so they're like staring at him, and he's just kind of creeping around all night long. And it made the girls we were with uncomfortable. We were pretty sure this guy was heavily under the influence. And I remember when our games were over, we were done playing, and we were standing there, and we were getting out of our bowling shoes. I remember we were still in our socks. It's funny, I remember some of the details. We're standing there in our socks. And I look over and I can see sort of a secluded area of the bowling alley. And I see the shady dude just getting beat down by two guys. I mean, two guys were just beating him down. And I said to my friend Gary, I said, Gary, that dude, and I'm barely even get the words out of my mouth. The dude's getting beat down. Gary, in his socks, runs over there and just starts tossing these guys off him, pushing them. I mean, he hulked out, and they're like, you know, now they're starting to threaten Gary, and Gary's like, hey, whatever, you don't just, you know, it's just not cool to just beat down this guy, you know, so they start threatening Gary, and Gary's like, whatever, and he's doing this thing, and he's Gary, and they leave, you know, all grumbling and whatever, I remember just thinking, and Gary just saying, look, it doesn't matter how creepy the guy was. It was unjust for him to get beat down by two guys. Okay? And so it was sort of a picture of justice. And a lot of times, we tend to equate justice with this person is deserving, right? Like, have you ever asked, you know, somebody, like maybe a panhandler or somebody out there is asking you for money, and you're like, you know, what? Hey, go get a job. Maybe if you worked a little harder, right? Don't we think these thoughts? But really, you know, that's really kind of not, that's not justice. That's not caring for the poor. And so, yeah, can we do a better job at caring for the poor? Yes. But when we wait until this person has their entire life together to make sure that they get justice, that's just not justice. Okay? And so those are important things to keep in mind. This guy probably deserved to get beat down, right? But it wouldn't have been justice. It wouldn't have been justice. And it didn't matter what he did. It was just an unjust thing. And Gary was determined to set it right. And so his sort of like justice mechanism kicked in, and he went and he wanted to set it right. And so, you know, maybe you've been in a circumstance where someone was being treated unfairly and you didn't stand for it, right? Well, I'm not going to stand for this. Well, that's doing justly. It's just saying I'm not going to stand for somebody being treated that way. And so what does Scripture have to say about this? We're going to talk about that. I think it's a very important question for the church. I think it's an often overlooked question for the church. And so let's pray real quick. God, we love you. We ask that you give us sensitivity to this subject, that you give us discernment to this subject. God, I pray that you would help us to have your eyes of justice for you to be able to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at a passage from the Old Testament. We talked about this probably about 4 years ago from this passage, a little bit, maybe longer. But it lays out what God desires of us in the area of justice. You're like, what does God want from us in the area of justice? And it's Isaiah 58, 6 through 10. And it says this. It says, so here, just to give you a little bit of context, you know, again, we're looking at, you know, the prophets speaking to Israel. And Israel was going through a season where they had this sort of like outward appearance of spirituality. You know, they were praying and fasting and all those things, but they weren't caring for the poor. And so God was coming along and he says, this is the kind of fasting I want. This is the spirituality that I want from you. Free those who are hungry or who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Open a neighborhood thrift store. It's in there, right? So, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply, "Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon." If you remember one thing this morning, please remember this. Truly loving God means truly loving the oppressed and needy. Truly loving God means truly loving the less fortunate. There's a really good book. Honey, what is it? Is it When Helping Hurts? Good book if you guys have ever wanted to read a book on helping the right way, right? In ways that have long-term, rippling, wonderful effects. And so, but this is a theme that runs through the entire Bible, right? From the Torah to Proverbs, from the prophets to the words of Jesus, God is saying, love the oppressed, love the needy. If you love me, you'll love them. If you love me, you'll love them. Whatever you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. I mean, that's how personal God takes helping the needy, right? Parenthetically, it's hard to help the needy when you're always seeing yourself as the needy. Just think about that, okay? We're not the needy. I mean, so, okay, just... Parentheses over. Okay. God wants, you know, he wants us to be the answers to those who need justice. God wants us to be the answers to their prayers, right? So injustice is alive and well in our world. There's no shortage of ways to get involved and to be the solution. I recently came across this list. I don't know who did the study or who did what, but there was a 5 major injustices plaguing the planet. The first is pollution. You know, pollution is one of the top 5 plagues in our planet. Pollution from factories, from plants, just from inconsiderate consumers. Did you know that that is actually killing people? That pollution is killing people. That almost 1 million people a year die because they lack clean water because of pollution. 1 million people a year? That's a lot of people that die simply because of pollution. Because if they weren't for pollution, they would have clean water, but they don't have it because of pollution. Lack of clean water is actually the leading cause of blindness in our world. Just not having clean water is the leading cause of blindness in our world. So pollution is a major injustice in our world. Lack of education. 72 million children do not have access to a proper education. 72 million people. That's a huge number of people. Lack of education. Violence, just plain violence. Violence toward people of other races, violence towards people of other orientations, other political persuasions. Violence is a completely preventable problem that plagues our entire planet, the violence. Human trafficking would be number 4. There are 40.3 million victims of human trafficking globally. Think about that. Do you know what that means? People that are sold into slavery still today. People that are forced into sex slavery, that are forced into prostitution. And of the 40.3 million victims of human trafficking, 5 million are children. 5 million, that's a problem. That is a problem that we can't just ignore and go, well, you know what? It doesn't affect me. That's not due justly. That type of attitude, okay? So, and then malnourishment and hunger. 795 million people on the planet don't have enough food to eat. Wow. That's like almost a fifth of the globe's population. Doesn't have enough food to eat. Here's the massive kick in the gut, okay? Americans waste $161 billion worth of food every year. $161 billion. What Americans spend on their pets on Valentine's Day could just about solve the world water problem. Think about it. It's true. That's not like a made-up thing. But spending frickin' millions of dollars on their pets when people are dying, that's not doing justly. Shame on us. Seriously. Okay? I'm not a shame-based preacher, but that's a bunch of crap. All right, so I'm not. Y'all know me. Y'all know my heart. I love all of you. And I speak for all of us. So, because I have a cat that I want to kill every day. So what are some ways? I want to talk about, just honestly, some really easy ways. So here's what I'm not doing. I'm not standing up here this morning going, y'all need to join the Peace Corps. Y'all need to go and go dig a well. Everybody needs to, stop going to Starbucks. But whatever. I just want to give you some just really easy ways to just kind of say, well, this is how we can live out this God's desire for us to do justly. One is to just speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Okay? Proverbs 31:8-9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. Okay? Some people just aren't able to speak for themselves. Or they're afraid to speak for themselves because they've been threatened and they've said, if you speak up, we'll harm you, we'll harm your family. And so just speaking up. If you can advocate for somebody, advocate for them. Okay? Now, y'all know I have a couple of children that I love, and they're awesome, and they're brilliant. But they're on the spectrum. And sometimes when a person on the spectrum goes to, let's say, the doctor, the anxiety brings up almost like an inability to ask the right questions and to speak for themselves. And we had an instance recently where a doctor told one of our children that they needed surgery, and it was a load of crap. And so my wife said, I'm going with you to that surgery consult to advocate for you, to ask the right questions. And of course, she dug down and realized that it was garbage and that he didn't need surgery. And so in that case, that was a medical system taking advantage of someone who couldn't speak for themselves or ask the right questions. Okay? You guys, that's happening every day. Every day. And if you know somebody who could use your help speaking up for them, speak up for them. Speak up for them. All right? If they can't speak up for themselves, go speak up for them. Okay? Here's the other part of that. I'm going to mention this, and hopefully I don't want to get into the weeds here too much. I don't want to get, because this is an easy subject to get into the weeds, and I don't want to do that. But sometimes when we don't understand something, when someone is speaking up for themselves, we tend to slander it, okay? And so we see this a lot in racism in our country, right? And so racism it's a justice issue, and it's a really complex one. And it's very difficult to understand. Okay, it's not something that you can just post a meme about and drop the mic and walk away. I think that's the worst thing you could possibly do. I saw a Christian brother post a meme that said racism was dead until Obama became president. Yeah. You know, it's like, because you don't get it doesn't mean you should slander it, okay? It's complex, it's deep, it has widespread roots in our country. For 280 years, you had slavery, mistreatment, Jim Crow laws, and we've come a long way. We've come a long, long way, but when you say things like racism doesn't exist, it's a real slap. That's not doing justly, okay? Still, systemically, blacks receive an average of 19% longer prison sentences than whites do. So systemically, we have some issues. Scripture just says right there not to wrongly imprison people. And so when you have certain things happening systemically, even if you disagree, even if you're like, well, they have longer prison sentences between this and this, whatever, you don't need to be a jerk, right? You don't need to slander what you don't fully understand. And it's so important that if you don't fully understand anything, or if you do kind of bristle, or if it does kind of rub you the wrong way, then do yourself and other people a favor and actually do some real research, right? Read a book. Here's a good book. Dr. Joy DeGry wrote a book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. Wonderful book. You know, if you're kind of going, yeah, I would love to get into that mentality. I would love to understand. And so I think it shows a great deal of spiritual maturity to seek understanding rather than slandering what you don't understand, right? So that's super important. So speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. And don't slander those who speak up for themselves and you don't get it, all right? So the next thing is give to reputable benevolence organizations. You know, throw a little change towards, an organization that's doing good things. Isaiah 58:7 says, share your food with the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, give clothes to those who need them, don't hide from your relatives when they need your help. I'm not even going to get into that. sometimes relatives are the hardest people to help, right? Because you know all their business. But do a little research, and then just give a little. Check the report card. You know, if there's an organization where half of the money that comes in is going towards salaries, there's a little bit of a problem there, okay? If you got an organization, a benevolence organization that's raising money and the CEO is making seven figures, there's a problem. Find good organizations to give to. Food, shelter, clothing. These are basic human needs that you and I should not go without, that no one should go without food. No one should go without shelter or clothing. These are basic human needs. So be the answer to someone's prayer, right? Be the answer to someone's prayers. There's a lot of need out there. And then third is this. This is really important. Be a conscientious consumer. This is so important. Because by being a conscientious consumer, you're removing the heavy yoke of oppression, right? You're freeing slaves. You're removing the heavy yoke. So, okay, there are over 40 million slaves still in the world, and a lot of them are manufacturing cheap goods that we can buy at Walmart. Christmas lights. You know, for example, you're like, wow, a dollar for a string of Christmas lights, that's so cheap. Well, that's because some slave worked until their fingers bled. So watch where they're being manufactured. Be a conscientious consumer. Don't just be about saving money. You know, when you go to Walmart at Christmas time and you buy one of these, like, unbranded, you know, like, package of plastic toys, you know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh, only $5 for a little toy saxophone. And there's a real good chance that those were made by slaves in China. And so just be a conscientious consumer. Let's bring down the demand for cheap goods, which brings down the demand for slavery, okay? And so just research the manufacturers. Don't buy from those who use slave labor. Now, there are resources for that. There are books, actually. You can buy a little handbook. Brandon, what's the name of that handbook? I gave you a copy. You won a copy a couple of years ago. We were giving them out. Better World Shopper. Thank you. Yeah, just grab a copy of the Better World Shopper. $5-$10. $5 to $10 to help fight slavery. That's a great deal, right? So grab a copy of that book. Look at the companies that you're going to buy from. And if it means, you know, you spend $3 more on the product or $5 more on the product, you're making a difference. You're helping to free slaves, to remove the heavy yoke of oppression just by just doing that. You don't need to go Rambo and go overseas and shoot people up and, like, free the slaves. Go, you're free, you know. You can literally just change the way that you shop. You can, Will. You can. You have my permission. I want to see you in a headband. So, you know, bring down the demand for cheap goods. Do your research. Don't buy from companies that pollute. Check that in your Better World Shopping. Don't buy from companies that just dump and waste into rivers because they're killing people. Okay? So, you know, and take care of your own trash too. Take care of your own trash. Just recycle. I know it's a racket. I know they make money coming and going with those recyclers. Like, you pay them to take away the recycling so they can take it and sell it. You know, I love it. It's a wonderful business model. I wish I was in it. But recycle, okay? Take care of your trash. Just don't be a slob. It's a good thing. If you're a smoker, don't let me catch you throwing your butt out the window of your car. I'll jump out of my car. I'll throw it right back in, I swear. You know, but just don't pollute and don't buy from companies who are just, you know, throwing all sorts of trash into the air and into the water. So be a conscientious consumer. The last thing is this: volunteer. If you're not volunteering somewhere in your life, somewhere, either here or for camp or King's Harvest or just any organization, if you're not volunteering somewhere, you're really missing out on a wonderful part of life. And that's just giving back and not expecting anything in return. Just volunteer. Something happens when you sort of like meet eye to eye with the needy. Something happens when you touch them, when you build relationships with them, when you know their name. Because they go from being a problem to a person. And we can't take people and let them become just problems in our minds. Because what happens is then we don't see them as made in the image of God. We don't see them as people. We don't see them as image bearers that Jesus loved so much that he went to the cross for. Just like you, right? And so meet with them. It's so powerful and can so change your life. If you've never done this, just take one Wednesday, and just go down to King's Harvest and help serve lunch. And as the homeless come through, and you put food on their plate for them, and you smile, and you talk to them, and you look them in the eye, and then you grab your plate when you're done, and you go and you sit with them, and you talk with them, and you hear their story, it'll change your heart. It'll change your life. There's something beautiful. Because then you can you know, do what Jesus did when he came to earth and he had solidarity with us, with the hurting. You can form solidarity with the hurting. And so that's what God wants you to do. Or you know what? Give a little time to Royal Family. You know, when you've got a kid that shows up with all of his belongings in a garbage bag, who may even be wearing two left shoes, who has PTSD because he's seen his dad beat his mom, or mom's boyfriend bludgeon dad with a hammer, and you know that they've seen these things and they've walked that way, and you walk along with them and you look them in the eye and you put your hand around their shoulder, or you make them laugh, or you run and play with them, suddenly it expands you. And it's so important that we take time in our lives to walk hand in hand with the needy, okay? Not just kind of like, whatever, praying for you. Thank you. Thank you for the prayers, right? But there's something special that happens when you walk with them. Volunteer. Go on a missions trip. If you've never been on a missions trip in your life, go on one. It will change your life. Go with Lori to Haiti. I'm telling you. Wendy's been with her twice now, and I've been dragging my feet about going. I'm glad I didn't go this time because I would have, wanted to have been some sort of revolt. You know, they would have had tire fires. It was crazy. It was nuts over there. But go and play with the kids and see the conditions that they live in, and you'll see that people sometimes just can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Okay? And so go on a missions trip. Do something that takes you out of your bubble. Do something that takes you out of your comfort zone and expands your perspective, expands your view on justice issues. Because you're not going to get a true picture of justice issues watching it on TV or reading, you know, articles that show up in your Facebook feed. You're not going to get it, okay? And so there's just something that happens that you live it. There's an old saying from an old song way back in the day. Way back in the day. Does anybody here remember Charlie Peacock? Yes. He had a song that said, you can only possess what you experience. In other words, knowledge isn't necessarily going to change your life. You can only possess and expand and grow from what you experience. And so if I can encourage you to do one thing, get out and experience doing justice by volunteering somewhere or taking a missions trip, okay? You can only possess what you experience. So what I'm going to do is we're just going to close in prayer. And so, worship team, you can come back up. That's fine. But I just want to pray. I just want to say a prayer for everybody here today that God would help to shape you and shape us to be people that have the heart of Jesus when it comes to justice. And it's a heart of compassion. It's a heart of understanding. God doesn't expect all of us to go out and, like, change the world. But you know what? All of us doing something can change the world, right? One person can't change the world, but all of us doing small things can make a massive impact. And even if it's just shopping conscientiously or giving a little to organizations who are doing it well or volunteering or just speaking up for those who, if you know somebody, if you've got a neighbor that could use your voice, then use your voice, right? And so let's just go ahead and pray. Why don't y'all stand with me? God, I pray that you would give us your heart for the poor and needy. God, that you would help us to understand that loving them is loving you. And if we love you, we'll love them. Help us to be a people of justice. Lord, God, just forbid it that we should ever become so secure in our bubble that we just don't see it, or we resent it, or we become judgmental towards it, or we slander what we don't understand. God, I pray that we would be people that reflect you well and reflect you clearly. You're so wonderful, God. We want to do what you're doing, say what you're saying, go where you're going, love who you're loving. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning.